This week on the Donut Box Podcast, we talk about how we became friends all those years ago.
Yeah, find out why Micah's Jack Sparrow impersonation really got under my skin and how I could not stand him for a little bit. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, a lady uses a frozen turkey to defend herself from an attacker who tried to hijack her car. And
a frozen turkey.
Yeah, frozen turkey. It was fully frozen. You'll hear all about it on the Jelly Donut, man. It's going to be a great time. And do you think that cheesecake should be part of the Thanksgiving lineup? I know I do. Micah, we'll hear about what you think coming up.
Yeah, we got to talk about all this Thanksgiving stuff. And you know what else we got to talk about? Those Thanksgiving travel woes that happen in the airport. I don't know. People tend to lose their mind in the airport. You're going to figure out what fries my donuts about it when we get to that segment.
Yeah, people are crazy in the airport. You know where else is crazy? The mystery donut, because there's crazy scenario, crazy characters, crazy accents. They all come out.
Yeah. What do they say? The accents come out once the clock strikes past 11. It's not past 11, but you know, hey, it is what it is. All right. Don't look at me like that, man. Listen, it's been a great time. It's been a long week, but I think we need to roll the intro.
Hi, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And we've been friends for over 20 years.
Surprisingly, we haven't killed each other yet. Years ago, we decided to make a variety show of our own, and it sucked.
And then, a few years later, as an adult, we decided, hey, let's make a variety show again, and came up with the Donut Box Podcast. You know, Mama always said life is like a box of donuts. You never know which one you're going to get.
I thought it was a box of chocolates.
Oh, yeah. Well, donuts, chocolate, same thing. Same deal. Yeah. Let's just start the show.
This is the Donut Box Podcast.
All right, man. Well, it is season 4, and as you can tell, we got a little bit something different going, man. You can see our faces. What was the John Cena thing? Hey, you already know. You can't see
you can't
me.
See yeah. me. Yeah.
You couldn't see us for 3 seasons, but you know what? Season 4, now you can see us. And so we're super excited about that, man. That's one of the major changes we've had. In this new season. But how do you feel that we on camera over here?
Man, it's great. I know they got to look at your ugly mug. They got to look at my ugly mug. We're along for the ride. I'm down for it.
Hey, it is what it is, man. I mean, you're going to have to suffer season 4 and possibly further. So it is what it is. But you know what? We got plenty of excellent content per usual. And if you've been a Donut Box OG to this point, we really want to thank you guys. You guys have been awesome. I mean, we've been through 3 seasons. How many episodes total? I should have counted that.
It's 156 total. Yeah, I just did the math in my head.
That's right.
Yeah, 156.
Because 3 seasons. Yeah, and you know what? It's been consecutive weeks. And so that's the beautiful part about the Donut Box Podcast. It's every Monday, and we're going to keep it rolling consecutive every Monday morning. So that's fantastic. But we have our regular flow. And Chris, you want to tell them about our flow and kind of what's going on?
Yeah, if you aren't a regularly scheduled listener or now watcher, now that you can see our faces, if you're watching on YouTube, yeah. How this works is each segment of our podcast is a different donut. So our first segment is the old-fashioned donut, which is always a story from our past. And I forgot to mention, this is our Thanksgiving episode, which is your favorite time of year.
Yeah, Thanksgiving is definitely my time of year. I love Thanksgiving. You get to stuff yourself a little bit. What a great American holiday. I don't know what it is. You get to eat a ton and have a good time. Watch a little bit of football, which is great and always tends to be relaxing. And you know what? I'll say this. Every time this year or this time of year comes and I'm sitting here and I don't have to work on Thanksgiving or Black Friday, yes. I am very grateful. But I do want to give a shout out to our all the workers who have to be doing it, particularly the retail workers, because, man, we have been there. We know what kind of nightmare that could have been. So shout out to you guys, because Thanksgiving and especially Black Friday can be absolutely nuts.
It's nuts, so, man.
We'll help y'all out. And I know for one, I'm not going shopping on either day. So there's
nope,
that.
I'm staying in the house, bro. I am staying in the house. My pajama. I mean, I'll go to like families, but like We went on a really long rabbit hole. It was like, oh my gosh, we talked about the old fashioned donut. Now we're sitting here talking about Thanksgiving, which is not Thanksgiving related.
What can I say, man? We're sitting here. I'm looking at myself on camera. I'm like, man, I really like to talk, and I really like to watch myself talk. Apparently, no, I'm joking. But yeah, apparently that's a thing. Now, but you know, Thanksgiving is just an awesome time of year. It's cool when you get to have it with family. It's also cool when you can just like chill with some friends, and you know, a lot of people do the Friendsgiving thing, which is cool. And I've done that a few times, which is cool. It's, you know, we'll talk about a little later about the food because there's some interesting stuff out there. But anyways, we'll get back on track. So our old fashioned donut, which is a story from our past. We're going to talk about how we became friends. And so this happened 20 plus years ago now. Which
I think it's
going to
be coming up on, oh my goodness, it's going to be coming up on 22 years. Like, and I think it was around January or February. Dude, it's going to be 22 years.
Yeah, 22 years. Well, I don't know about you. And I've heard a lot of other, because we're both millennials and love us or hate us, whatever. But, you know, I've heard a lot of people talk about anyways, we won't get on that. I was about to go on a whole nother rabbit
hole. Where were you going with that?
It was a whole nother rabbit hole. We're not going to do that. We're going to talk about how we became friends. So anyways, we became friends. What are you
laughing at, man? Just keep going. I'm already
cracking you up here. I know how to get sidetracked. Anyways, so we became friends. I had moved from Germany. My family and I were in the military. And so we spent from the time I was 4 years old to the time I was about 8 in Germany. And so ended up moving back moving to Georgia for the first time. I'd never lived in Georgia. That was my first time ever. And so get there, started going to this church, and Chris and his family already went to this church. And so naturally,
like 6 months prior, like we had not been going there for that long. I would say probably newer, probably 6 months. Yeah.
Pretty new at the deal. And so we met in Sunday school, naturally. We were both in third grade. And so we met in Sunday school class, and really cool Sunday school teacher and whatnot, but we did not really care for each other at first. I think Chris had more of a disdain for me than I did for him, but it was one of those things to where I didn't, I knew this kid didn't like me for sure. Do you want to delve into a little bit of why maybe you didn't care for me so much?
Well, so part of it was your fault, but part of it was also my fault well. Okay. Because here I was just, I wouldn't say a sheltered homeschool kid, but I was a sheltered homeschool kid without ever being homeschooled. Like I would say not super sheltered, but I was a know-it-all. I don't know how you would describe me, like a, not Jimmy Neutron.
You were definitely like the gifted
autistic child. No, I'm just kidding.
You kind of reminded me, like, if STEM programs were a thing back when I could probably have seen you in doing like a STEM program or something like that.
I was very judgmental, I guess you would say, like that, and then my church upbringing, very judgmental, right? So anyways, so I was pretty like no nonsense type kid, like didn't really have a sense of humor, and like part of that, not to get too personal, like there was some stuff that had been going on in my childhood at the time. And so I think that's what, thinking back on it, that caused me to kind of like be so serious. But anyways, so Micah.
Why so serious?
Micah, see, this is what I'm talking about, bro. Like, this is why I didn't like him at first, because he would just be making jokes, everything. So he comes and I'm like, it's like, hey, we got this new kid. His name's Micah. And, so I don't know why, but you thought you just to fit in, as kids do, you told a joke, you did a Jack Sparrow impression. You weren't like listening to the Sunday school teacher. And I was just like, dude, like, what is this kid's problem? Like, just listen. And so you were kind of spazzing. You were spazzing a little bit.
Yeah. So yeah, So one, I'm an only child, so there was that. Two, it was like I came from a really big military background. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a lot of people that went to this church and kids that went to this church too that came from military background, but it was a little different. And you know, to say this, Chris and I, we met like right pretty much when I moved there, like you said, January, February of 03. And pretty much it was like, was it 03 or 04?
Yeah, it was 03.
It was 03. And it's like, I'm having to make sure I get my timings right. But it was, we met pretty quick. And I remember Pirates of the Caribbean was huge. Like, I remember watching it on the plane. And the dumb part, and for whatever reason, I did not think that people knew about Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, I thought it was like a B-rated movie. Like, I pretty much the only person that I knew was Keira Knightley. Well, and Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom, because he was in the Lord of the Rings movies.
Right, right.
And I knew who Johnny Depp was. Like, Johnny Depp had been in a ton of stuff. But anyways,
personally, I didn't know Johnny Depp. You know, for me, it's not like I was watching Edward Scissorhands or anything like that, or you know, Sweeney Todd or anything. But so I didn't know Johnny Depp at the time. So here I was. I'm sitting here thinking, you know, this is like a B-rated movie. Let's tell this joke. And what's the first way to any, you know, to make friends is tell a joke. And I remember which one it was. And it wasn't even really a joke. That's the dumb part. I remember it was the scene in the first Pirates of the Caribbean where, like, I don't even remember the dialogue, but like she was like standing on top of the ledge and like Keira Knightley like fell off and then like jumped in after, like she like passed out or something. And I don't know why, but I basically just like reenacted this thing, like in front of the Sunday school class. And yeah, that was where Chris was like, I draw the line at that guy.
Yeah. So I just said, I was like, man, I don't like that kid, this and that. So then we were taking, like, not taking care of, but like at our old church, we were still friends with them because we kind of left like abruptly. So it was a little like, it was a little weird for me to leave, but we were still friends with these people at our church. And the mom like had drug addiction and alcohol, and like the dad struggled with alcoholism too. So like my mom and dad took their kids to like watch them and just kind of help them out while they were going through a tough time. And so I remember her name was Amanda, and she had a sister, and they spent the night at my house. And so then we brought them to church, right? So so I remember like, and Amanda, like at the time, like she's cool now, but like at the time she was like a big liar. She was like a compulsive liar. Like it's kind of funny, like thinking about her then, like she was maybe two times worse than the 8-year-old version of Micah, like the kid version, like the female version of Kid Micah, right? And so we bring her to church, and I don't know what she said, but she was mean to Micah. Like she was really, really, really mean. What did she say to you? Do you remember?
So I don't remember exactly what she said, but I think it was more what she did, man, because I had broken my leg. And so what had happened was,
you had already broken your leg at that point?
Yeah, I had broken my leg. So pretty much I had climbed a tree and there was a fork in this tree, and I got my foot caught, and I was trying to get my foot unstuck, and somehow like I lost balance and let go. And when I did, like I broke my ankle and like my leg pretty darn bad, like to the point where I had a cast. And you know, it's funny, I've never seen people with casts this big nowadays. Have you ever seen anybody with a cast like I had back then? Like I haven't seen it like as
not
big
in a long
it went
time.
All the way, because it went all the way to like my upper leg, like thigh, all the way down, like. And then it like had my knee at a certain position and it went all the way down, and it was a full blown cast. And so it was kind of hard to maneuver, and I don't remember what she said, but I think she like kicked a crutch out from under me or something. It was what? it was like some sort of action. It was like, or I was like going to try to sit down, or, and she was like rude about it. Like, what? Let me sit down. There was like something.
it was something where I was like, okay, that's where I draw the line. Like, hey, like, hey, I don't like this guy, but you know what? You're being really mean. Like, if I already didn't like you and she was being really mean, she must have been like really, really, really mean. So
yeah.
I felt bad for you, dude. Like, I just remember coming up to you and be like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry, bro. Her mom's on drugs. It might have got put in her cereal bowl. She might be on drugs, bro. No, I'm just kidding. Right. I mean, she did act that way sometimes. She was really spazzy, like, just
it might be in her Rice Krispie treats or Rice Krispie bowl. But no, I remember him coming over and being like, I'm sorry about what's going on, like, you just sit over here, because it was like the same day, like it was just a few minutes later, and he was like, I'm sorry about all that, you can come sit over here. And and after that, I remember being like, okay, this guy's pretty cool. Like, I mean, any time, especially as a kid, like, think about third graders. If especially, like, I don't know, bro, third graders, they don't care. They have no chill. They don't have no filter. And if, like, most of the time, they're not the kind to apologize and think about those things in depth like that. They just typically don't. So for that to happen, it's like, oh, man, it's pretty cool. And so shortly thereafter, I don't remember how we arranged it. I think it was probably one of those deals where I was like, you know, right after church, like, hey, I want to go hang out with Chris or something like that. And I remember, like, hung out with you at your house first.
Really?
If I remember correctly.
No, I remember I remember going to your house first. Like, I remember
you.
That was like one of the first times we hung out, because your parental units had just gotten you like the lights and the speakers. And I remember being like, whoa, like, this is a pretty cool place.
Maybe we're remembering it differently
or something.
Maybe so. Because the only reason I thought so was because I thought we hung out and it was, I hate to like delve into stuff that we only know on the podcast, but like I thought it was during the time like we went to Chuck E. Cheese and like all that stuff. And I thought that was like still like fourth
maybe
grade.
It was.
My fourth grade the first time, because like I remember. So I went through fourth
grade.
That
was one of the first times we did. Yeah, we did hang out. So maybe that. I feel like we hung out at your house before then, because it was definitely before. I think it was definitely after I went to your birthday party, because I think that was the first.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Your birthday party was the first time we hung out, like, officially.
The showboaty phase.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast right there. That's a whole podcast. Like, that's not just a segment. But anyways, so yeah, we started hanging out. And yeah, man, it's hard to believe it's been 22 years. I feel kind of old, so you were 8 years old too, right?
Yeah, I was 8, because we're like a year, we're like
10 months.
Yeah,
10 months, because yours November, mine's August. Yeah, so 10 months.
So, and then we're friends all these years later, and I mean, that's just the intro.
Yeah, and we started the podcast, because, life's a variety, man, and why not start a variety show, like you said in the intro.
Great times. Every time I do this, like these segments or tell these stories, there's sometimes where I'm like, man, like I don't, like you'll remember things that I didn't, or I'll be like, oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. So
yeah, that's what's cool. And then there'll be sometimes when you're saying something, I'll be like, man, I don't remember that at all, but okay. And makes me feel kind of weird, because I'm like, man, my memory used to be so sharp, but now it's like, we've been having to work and do too many things in our life, but that's the way it goes. But all right, man, you ready to move to this next segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Our next segment is the Jelly Donut or the Jail Report.
Who is that private pile? Sir, Jelly Donut, sir, a Jelly Donut.
So Christopher, you got the Jail Report this week. Man, what do we got?
Well, so it's kind of a combo. It's a mixture between Thanksgiving arrest stories and then just like really bad Thanksgiving dinner meals with family. right? Like, have I know that you, we have all been part of those uncomfortable, and somehow, I don't know what it is at the holidays, but it's like Thanksgiving. Everyone decides they want to bring up politics or just the most controversial issues. It's like, can we talk about something else other than this? And since it being here in America, it's an election year, or we just had a recent election. I feel like that's going to be like a really big hot button issue now. Oh, it's like, dude, you know, my little brother, he intentionally tries to stir people up. Yep. Yeah. He tries to stir them up at Thanksgiving. So these first two, and this first one, it's kind of dark. It's about a murder on Thanksgiving Day of 1991.
Okay. A murder. Thanksgiving murder.
Now, I have to preface this and say murder is never okay, but the reason why she murdered him, I can kind of understand. It's a little bit justifiable, but I think it's one of those cases where she just like snapped and then, but anyways, I'll get into it. Okay. So on Thanksgiving Day in 1991, there was this fashion model who was from Egypt. Her name was Mrs. Nelson, and she repeatedly plunged a pair of scissors into the chest and stomach of Mr. Bill Nelson, who was her 56-year-old pilot husband. So there was obviously a big age gap.
Not
there.
The pilot. Oh, yeah. Man, not the pilot. Dang, that's the worst part of this story so far. No,
yeah, there was a 43-year age gap between them.
Golly.
Yeah.
Oh, he must have been close to retirement.
So she stabbed him with the scissors, and then she put him to death with an iron, like a hot iron, but she, like, hit him with it. And then, if that didn't make matters worse, Mrs. Nelson unleashed her fury. She butchered his body on the kitchen floor. She then boiled his hands in oil to remove fingerprints and stuck his head in the freezer so she could later break out his teeth. And then she also castrated him as well. Now, what do you think about that? Because there's a second half to this story.
She cut off his jet bridge. I don't know how to, I mean, come on, man.
She cut off his jet bridge.
Anyways, that man ain't never flying again. Anyways, so all right,
let me tell you why she did that.
Yeah, okay? go ahead. Why?
Let me keep this in the most PG because this is a family.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep PG too because this is a.
So apparently he was abusing her and she was being pimped out to old creeps in exchange for rent, cash, or in one case a car. So she was being pimped out by her husband to do these things that she did not want to do. And so I think she just got fed up with it. And then one day she just like snapped and then.
Yeah. Beyond fed up. I mean, I think it goes without saying, like, just dismembering anybody. Listen, if you take the time to dismember somebody, like you mad, like you're mad. Like that's not a, so this is going to make me sound like, oh, like, you know about it. No, but I watch enough Forensic Files with my wife to know that to dismember a body and to do that stuff, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. So, yeah, too fed up.
Now, this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but do you think that crimes like this to where she was being tortured and all that, and then now she finally stabbed and had revenge, do you think that she should be let off or she should just get like a lesser charge? Do you think she should be tried versus someone or receive the same punishment versus someone who like didn't have a reason, they intentionally dismembered someone? What do you think?
Now, this is going to go into a very large rabbit hole about how our penal system in this country is not very great. But
penal.
Yes, I did. Yes, I. But I will say this. In a perfect world, I think really where a person like that goes, it's not necessarily prison, but more, you know, they have like medical prisons or mental prisons or whatever. And I'm not necessarily saying that, but obviously this person went through a lot of mental, like what were those two twins that had the documentary too?
The Mendez brothers.
What happened? Yeah, the Mendez brothers. Like the stuff like that, it's hard because, yeah, it's justifiable. It's still against the law. But it's that weird kind of gray area. I do think that these people at least need to be detained as long as they could be, to make sure that, hey, like, they're getting the help that they need. But see, I think that's where our justice system goes wrong, is there's not enough of those places out there. And really and truly, a lot of it is for people with more money. You get those slots a lot quicker. But, you know, not trying to get into all that. But in a perfect world, I think that it's like not necessarily let go, but more into like a rehabilitation center that's not a prison. And, yeah, you know, like as long as they're showing and as long as they're not showing signs of danger to themselves or others, and it was just that one instance of like, hey, I'm just trying to get out of this situation, then yeah, absolutely, let them go. But at the same time, I think there should be some sort of supervision for a little bit, and you kind of, you know what I mean? I think that's definitely what should happen. But again, we don't put enough funding into that sort of thing. So,
all right. I think we talked about this on one of our Thanksgiving episodes. So if we have, oh geez, please forgive me. But this happened in North Carolina, but this lady was getting her Thanksgiving groceries in her car when an assailant threw her to the ground. So a horrified bystander grabbed the frozen turkey that Miss Bailey had purchased and hit the man over the head with it. The man, Mr. Irvin, was still able to take her car. This is the assailant, not the Good Samaritan. But officers later captured him. They found him suffering from a serious head wound and took him to the hospital. It's like, yeah, like that's some street justice. You're like, yeah, he got what was coming to him.
Assaulted with a butterball. That's yeah. Ain't nothing better than that on Thanksgiving. Getting assaulted with a butterball for some sweet justice.
I feel like that's like the most southern story though. Like if that would have happened in the backwoods of Alabama, I'd be like, yeah, like
I wouldn't be surprised.
Southern justice.
Yeah. Southern justice. It's like, listen, man, don't you mess with us down here. We're gonna assault you with a turkey. I'll tell you that much. Come around here. Try to rob our car, try to steal our car, see what happens.
Yeah. All right. These next couple are about Thanksgiving dinners that have gone bad. So they're not arrest stories. Man. But this person says that they remember when they were about 9 years old, they said a week before Thanksgiving, their dad threw a plate of food against the wall because their mom burned the dinner. Well, in the middle of Thanksgiving, in front of a ton of people, this person threw their plate and shattered with food everywhere because they were like, oh, yeah, I saw my dad do it. So I thought that's just what you do, like when you're upset. Like, could you imagine just some like dressing and stuffing flying against the wall?
Like father, like son, clean it up, puts.
I will say there were a couple of schnitzels that your maternal unit made that I wanted to throw up against the wall, and they probably would have bounced back.
And throw up against the wall? Or are you talking about just throw up, period?
Throw in the throw out the window because it was bad. It was really bad.
Well, yeah, but Christopher, it was the altitude. Anyways, so
hold on. I gotta pause you. We need to stop telling lies because apparently that's not what happened, according to some people. Apparently that's not what happened, and we need to stop telling lies. But that's in
look me in my eye, Christopher. Look me in my eye. Look me in my eye. Tell me I'm lying right now. Tell me I'm lying right now.
Hey. All right. You knew that schnitzel was messed up. You knew it was. Hey. All right. All right. It says this was Thanksgiving. And I love the names that they give to these people because it sounds like something me and you do. It's Thanksgiving. Said that my aunt, which we'll call her Jailbird, just got out of jail for serious criminal offenses involving gun trafficking. Her and my other aunt, we'll call her Moon Pie, which was also her favorite snack, but and also fitting because she's round like a moon pie too. Got into an argument over who bought my sister a gift, which she had since she was 4 years old. Jailbird was only 14 when the gift was given to my sister, making it literally impossible that it was from her. And so after my grandma said enough is enough, they moped around for a few hours, but peace was made, or so we all believed. So they all sit down at dinner. It's going well until Moon Pie thought it'd be a good idea for her to carve the turkey, which my grandma, seeing no issues with that idea, let her. Jailbird was stabbed in the leg with the carving fork by my aunt Moon Pie, and that's when all hell broke loose. My sister and I were told to go to our room, so So we left, and then we left, heard some screaming, some glass breaking. And when me and my sister came out to see what was happening, well, it turned into an all-out brawl. My parents and the other aunts were just trying to keep Jailbird and Moon Pie away from each other and not having much success. Grandma was just sitting there drinking her box wine and smoking like nothing was happening while everything else was going on around her. Anywho, long story short, I called the cops, and Jailbird and Moon Pie now have both spent some time in jail on Thanksgiving. I love that story. That's a great story.
It sounds a lot like a few holidays that I've had. Yeah. Yeah, it has. Had a few brawls on the front lawn myself. Not that I was in, but hey.
But you had to break up.
Yeah, it's crazy to me
that a 15-year-old kid had to break up two grown adults who are about to fight each other. That's
hey, man.
It's like, who's the adult in this situation? Okay. All right. Last one, and then we'll move on to the next one. All right. So apparently, usually this person said that normally they would have a Thanksgiving, and they had a big house. So probably usually 20 to 30 people, friends and family would come over to their house. And eventually, like, people would stay at that place like it was a hotel, right? So eventually it says my parents got divorced. The economy tanked. We kept downsizing houses. And pretty soon it was just my mom, my brother, and I in a pretty small house. She still made dinner, but maybe just a friend or even two would be there with us. One year, she just got fed up, sick of cooking all day for one meal just for us, tired of working on things not getting better and just all of life's hardships. So on Thanksgiving, 4 or so years ago, she plopped a plate of raw meat on the table in a fondue pot filled with oil and said, effing cook it, do it yourself. I'm not cooking no more. Bro, that sounds like some mom guilt right there, bro. It's like, you know what? Like, I'm tired. Here you go. Here's the oil. Here's the turkey.
You know what? If you think you could do it better, you're cooking it this year. You know? Yeah, that's what that energy is right there, boy. She's fed up, man. She was like, this is your year for it. You know, she was planning that too. She planned that at the grocery store. She planned that. That is a premeditated deal right there. Well,
the funny part is the guy said that, like, him, his brother, and his friend is like, okay. And they just made their own fondue. Like, it was no big deal. And it's like, now that's a part of our tradition. We just make fondue on Thanksgiving.
So the plan kind of backfired.
So she was just like, oh, I thought they were going to be like, oh, I'm so sorry. Nah, they were just like, okay, we'll go get pizza or something. Like
you know what? Heat up the fondue pot. This is the new thing. She said we could do it. I've been waiting for years to crack out this fondue pot and make it work.
Well, speaking of fondue being on Thanksgiving, that leads us into our next segment, which is the donut hole. And no, we're not going to play a game. This is more of like Micah's opinion, and the segment is called Will It Thanksgiving. So I'm going to name some foods. Some of them are maybe some more common foods that you have on Thanksgiving, and some of them are like totally out of left field. But I know you're pretty particular when it comes to your like Thanksgiving spread. Like you're kind of like, okay, maybe I'll try
it. You can't have no buffoonery. Yeah. I'll just preface this by saying this. I'm not a snob. Yeah, got to put my hand up. I'm not a snob, but I've been to plenty of potlucks. I grew up in the South. I know some good fattening food, especially on some Thanksgiving. And I know some people know how to mess that up, but we'll get into that.
All right. This first one, it is called frog eye salad. Now, there's not actual frog eyes.
All right. See, y'all already messing up. See, this is where y'all already messed up. But I don't even need to know. It's one of those
jellos. It's got tiny pasta pearls, pineapple chunks, mandarin oranges, and marshmallows, all enveloped in a creamy custard-like dressing. Yeah. It's like, ooh.
So hold on. We got some pasta with some pineapples.
Mandarin oranges and marshmallows.
And marshmallows all in a gelatinous state.
Well, it's not a have you ever had like the they call it like I don't know if they call it Watergate dessert, like the green stuff, like the pistachio.
I know what you're talking about. You know when I had that? If you listen, I'm gonna look this camera in the eye. Where's this camera at? I'm gonna look this camera in the eye. If you ever
find the camera.
I can't even find the camera. I'm an idiot. If you've ever been to West Texas and used to go to Furs, I know exactly what you're talking about. You get through the dessert line. There was a little bit of that over at the Furs. It was disgusting as mess, and I hate it. But anyways, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I'm assuming the answer is no, Will It Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's it's a family-friendly show, so I can't say what's going on in my head, but it's a firm no.
Okay, all right, this next one, this is at a lot of Thanksgivings. All right, creamy green bean casserole, like the green beans with the cream of mushroom soup, the crispy fried onions, right? Like, is that Thanksgiving?
Yeah. You know, I don't mind that. Here's where people go wrong. It's the walnuts. You put walnuts in that crap, I'm done. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this toasted nut crap. Yeah, I ain't about all that stuff. And then I've also seen toasted some people nuts. Put like, yeah, toasted nuts. These nuts ain't supposed to be. Nah, man, but like, you know what I'm talking about. And then I've seen them also put like raisins in there. Like, ooh. Heck no. Yeah, have you ever seen that where they put raisins in the green bean casserole? It's like, no. You're doing too much. You messed it up. Like, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay with it being basic. Are you describing
basic?
Yeah.
Yes. Like,
just like you described it, I'm fine with that.
Fried onions. Like, you describe cream of mushroom. Like, I don't like it like too mushy or whatever. But like, if it's made right,
Yeah, if somebody knows how to put it all together and work the oven properly, like, it's all good. You know what I mean? But sometimes you got to make all the moons align for some of these people to make it right.
Okay, I think I know what your answer is going to be on this one, and I've never heard of this, but I know what your answer is going to be on this one, probably. All right, this is called Warm Dr. Pepper Delight, okay? So here's the catch. Okay. Warm Dr. Pepper infused with a hint of lemon. It's just warm Dr. Pepper with lemon, apparently. Like, warm.
So this is supposed to be a Thanksgiving thing. People do
almost like a Dr. Pepper. Yeah, but it's warm. Like, you shouldn't be drinking Dr. Pepper warm. It should be cold.
My thing is, Dr. Pepper warm is disgusting. Like, I've never had a Dr. Pepper even lukewarm that's not been disgusting. So yeah. I'm going to pass on that. I'm a hard pass on that. I don't think that Thanksgiving's worth nothing.
If you bring me a warm Dr. Pepper, I will spew it out of my mouth, like the Lord said. Yeah. Don't be lukewarm. Okay. All right.
Don't be lukewarm.
All right. Now, here's where some people put a twist on this, and this is a Thanksgiving deal. Sweet potatoes, but with marshmallows on top. Yes or no? Will it Thanksgiving?
Yeah, for me, nah, man. Yeah, the marshmallows on top is what gets me, because most of the time, okay, believe it or not, used to be when I was a kid, I did not like sweet potatoes either. But like, I can do sweet potatoes, but here's what's got to be: a little bit of butter, maybe a little bit of brown sugar, but don't do a ton. Like, I feel like so many people, what they'll do is, if you watch them, they'll have all this stuff. They'll put a layer of the sweet potato, and then they just dump like whatever that syrup is. What is that syrup? You know what I'm talking about? They'll put all that syrup on there, and then they'll just dump it with brown sugar, and then they'll put the marshmallows on top and call it good. And it's like, bro, that is way too much.
So this next one, how do you feel about adding this to the dessert repertoire? Do you like how I use that word? Repertoire of Thanksgiving desserts.
You're using your SAT vocabulary over here. Look at you. Repertoire. Sorry,
Boston cream cake. Like, how would you feel about adding Boston cream cake to the dessert repertoire of Thanksgiving?
I think it's okay. I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that. There's worse things out there. I don't think it's bad. What do you think?
I think it's fine. I'm not like, and y'all are gonna crucify me. I already know. I'm not a big sweet potato or pumpkin pie guy at all. So Boston cream cake is better. What about cheesecake? Yes or no?
Oh, cheesecake all the way. Yeah, I know. Cheesecake's probably my favorite. In fact, cheesecake, that was what we had for our wedding too. So like, I love cheesecake, man. I'm great with it.
Cheesecake you can have anytime, any day.
All right, time of year.
Next one, cranberry with horseradish sauce. Do you even like cranberry sauce or no?
Not really, man. I'm not a big like cranberry guy. Even cranberry juice, like I'm not big on cranberry juice either. Like I'm just not a big, I'm not a big cranberry guy. Rabbit trail. I just found this out because, you know, they're doing the harvesting the cranberries up northeast right now, and they're doing like the bogs. You know how they keep like pests and like insects at bay that eat the cranberries and stuff?
No,
They intentionally set out a ton of spiders, and basically the spiders are all throughout the bogs. And so they were talking about when you walk through there, like you just get a ton of spiders on you because, you know, by the time the season's done, they have cultivated a ton. And I was like, man, I don't know about all that. I don't like spiders. So anyways, but I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know about that.
All right, this next one, and we're both from the South, so I don't know how you feel, but mac and cheese. Should mac and cheese be part of the Thanksgiving lineup?
Oh, yeah.
It better be, or I'm not coming to your Thanksgiving. And now,
bro, but people be messing it up. This is what I'm talking about, though. People be messing up the mac and cheese. They be doing some stupid stuff. Like, I don't know how many times have you been somewhere? And they've been like, I was at a freaking Thanksgiving thing for work yesterday. And they had it catered. And they were like, oh, we have this special aged white cheddar with bacon bits. And I was just like, the bacon was soggy as mess. The aged white cheddar, it was disgusting. I was just like, bro, one is hard to mess up mac and cheese. But I'm just like, you'd be doing the most. It's like, at this point, I would have taken some Kraft. I'm telling you, I'm going to take it some freaking Kraft over what you serving me, this aged white cheddar. Like, I'm sure that there are some people that can make a good aged white cheddar with, you know, whatever, and make a really nice, fancy, whatever. They just did not. And I see that too often where people be trying to overdo the mac and cheese. And it's just like, just keep it simple. Keep it simple with the mac and cheese. Don't be going all crazy now.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you ain't got mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving, I'm not coming. And on top of that, if I can't trust you to make the mac and cheese, nah. I'll take my mac and cheese real serious.
All right,
next one. I think you're going to say yes to this, but dressing and stuffing, yes?
Yes, I have one caveat, and people are going to probably crucify me for this. Too many people be putting eggs in their stuffing. I don't like that. I like stuffing. I like stuffing. Don't get like the way it is. But too many people will put like deviled eggs or something in there, or like hard boiled eggs. I'm like, bro, don't be putting no eggs in there. Like, come on. And to me, it's not necessarily a taste thing. It's a texture thing. Because like stuffing, something I've already got to get past with stuffing is the fact that it's mushy. I don't like things that are mushy pretty much. And so I like stuffing, especially those people that like leave it in the oven a little longer to where it's got like kind of that crunch on top, but it's still a little soft. But like sometimes they be putting it out and it's just watery, right? Yeah. And you just don't like that kind of stuff.
It's
and
so you be already like gotta bread. Like, you know what I mean? Like bread.
It's gotta be like a bread consistency, right? And I've had it kind of both ends of the spectrum. I've had it like super dry, and I've had it like super, super just swampy. And anyways. So for me, I feel like, you know, I'm already having to get the texture thing. So you add like a hard boiled egg or like kind of that soft, like eggy texture. Yeah, I don't think so, man. It just messes with me. Like, I don't think so.
All right. And the last one, and I think we're going to say yes, because we're Texans. Texas. We aren't Texas. We're Texans. Brisket. Should brisket be part of the Thanksgiving lineup? I say yes.
I say yeah. Why not? You know, a lot of people fight for turkey. I like turkey. Don't get me wrong. Okay, so we say yes to brisket. What are your non-negotiables? Like, what are your non-negotiables? Like, hey, I'm going to Thanksgiving. Do you have any non-negotiables? Like, what you have to have?
I mean, if I have to have it, like, and it's not really Thanksgiving food anymore. Because, like, me stuffing, I can take it or leave it. Turkey, I can take it or leave it. Ham, okay. Brisket, yeah. Mac and cheese, yeah. Sweet potatoes, okay. Green bean casserole, yeah. Do I gotta have the Parker House rolls? Yup. So, I don't know. those are kind of my non-negotiables. What are your non-negotiables? Like, I have to have this.
Used to be turkey. Used to be like, oh man, I got to have a turkey at least. I think you're gonna laugh. It's got to be some sort of good potato. Like, I'm a sides guy. I don't know. Like, I don't get me wrong. I like the turkey and I like the main dish, but I like some good sides. And so my thing is, I've always got to have. So like we were talking about the mac and cheese, we got to have like a good mac and cheese, and we got to have like a good potato dish. Like when
mashed potatoes or scalloped, like scalloped potatoes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Or you know, for lack of a better term, because everybody likes to call it like people's like funeral potatoes or like potato casserole. Like I could do something like that too. Yep. You know, something you gotta have something along those lines. For me, it's not necessarily the big items that make you feel like Thanksgiving. Sometimes it's like the variety. Like, even sometimes I'll make mashed potatoes, and then I'll make some scalloped potatoes, and you make some other stuff too. And I mean, if you want to eat a bunch of starch, it's Thanksgiving, man. Why not, right? Why not? Why not pick out on some sides? So, but yeah, for me, definitely like mac and cheese. Definitely. What my wife does is she does Spanish rice, like some of that like Spanish rice, which is pretty good.
We did have that. I remember us having that a couple of times when we spent Thanksgiving with y'all. And I'm cool. I think like, I mean, last year we had a pot roast. And then I think when we, there was one Thanksgiving we got together. I don't remember. I think Spanish rice was in there. I don't remember what we had, but it was something I was like,
and even some years what we've done, and this is incredibly Texan of us, is we've done the whole like chilies and tamales deal. Like, that's, and I mean, I really love that. I really love chilies and tamales, so I have no problem with that. I could eat a good dozen tamales on my own. I'm good with that sort of thing.
Yeah, I know you're very particular about Thanksgiving food, and I know something else that you're very particular about happens to be in our next segment, which is what fries my donuts. And Micah, you kind of hinted at it about airports and travel and all that stuff. So what's got you fried up, man?
Well, man, if you're a Donut Box OG or you just know your boy Micah here, you know that I like planes and you know I love some aviation, but what I do not love is how people be interacting at the airport. I don't know, man. People lose their absolute mind. It doesn't matter from when you start. It's like when you drive into the parking lot. People's minds are gone already. Like, their minds are just gone. It's already in the parking lot. Like, you didn't even get in the building, and it's just gone. Like, it doesn't matter if it's a big airport, a small airport, wherever. And people, they don't read the signs. They don't read nothing. So you got all these people just kind of going every which way, no guidance, no direction. And there's, of course, never enough airport employees to show all these people what's going on. Nor will these people ask
enough
questions or help. Airport employees.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. I said airport employees. What? Okay, sorry. Continue.
No, like airport employees to like show you what's going on. And like, you know, what's, and nor should there be. Really, there's enough signs. I mean, really, when you're in the airport, if we're being real, they make it pretty idiot-proof. I mean, you look at a lot of the signs and stuff. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes they'll do some really dumb stuff, especially like TSA and things like that. They'll do some really dumb stuff, but I'll get to that too. But people will lose their minds to the point where you will almost get hit, I don't know how many times, before you even get into the building. Then you get into the building. People are now trying to navigate the ticketing lines, and they're trying to do this self-checking kiosk. And the thing is, I like the self-checking kiosk because most of the time I try to travel as light as possible and I like to do all this stuff. But you have all these people who are trying to use the self-checking kiosk who don't know how to use the self-checking kiosk. And again, is there enough employees or like gate people or like ticketing people? Nah, man, there ain't enough of them. And meanwhile, the rest of them are being taken up because you got a bunch of other people yelling and screaming because their bag's over the 50-pound limit and they're getting charged a bunch extra and there's all sorts of stuff. So, like, you already get in the building and it's already chaotic as all get out on that front, too. But so you get your tickets, which we've talked about this before, kind of a side note. I always make sure to get my paper tickets in case the computer and the system goes down. Like, make sure we're just going to go old-fashioned way just in case. So anyways, you get your tickets and everything. And then, of course, everybody knows the gripe about TSA and why TSA is always an experience. And so you go through, you know, the whole experience, and you just want to tell them, like, you a real fed. You want to tell them all that, but you just don't, because you ain't trying to get detained in the airport. And so you go through that whole process. You get to the other side. Now everybody's frazzled, ticked off, because they've been disheveled. They've had to take off their shoes. And they're, because listen, I ain't going through TSA pre-check. I ain't got that money, unless you want to pay the Donut Box Podcast and trash can to be able to travel.
That's that money, boy.
If we can afford that TSA pre-check, we'll take it. But as of right now, I'm having to go through the regular security. And so, but you get out to the other side, man, and it's like everybody is upset. And so not just that, but you go to a major airport like Atlanta or Dallas or anything like that, you get to the other side of security, you now have to figure out where in this airport you are going to go. And so people who are well-traveled tend to know. Other people who are not, I don't know how many times, Chris, maybe this has happened to you too, where you've gone through security, you get to the other side, you get your belt, you get everything else done, and you start walking, and you know where you're going, but you have about a dozen people in front of you who are holding up everything because they have no clue where they're going. They've looked at the board like 30 times. They have no clue where they're going. They're just, you know, looking all around. They have no idea, and, you know, but they'll get in your way. And I don't know if people don't know this, but common courtesy is just like driving. If you're on the right-hand side of the road, you're going a certain direction. And the thing is, if your gate's on the left-hand side, it's the same thing. There's a flow of traffic. You better wait to turn left and do all this stuff. Something that I can't stand, and I've talked to people about this too, once you're in that airport environment, have you noticed it's like they'll start pre-boarding people. And people will all stand up and start crowding that whole aisle, and they'll all be in the middle of this thing. And so you're trying to get to your gate. Now they got all these people crowded up in the middle of the aisle where their gate is, because they call pre-board. They ain't even till group six. It's
you'd be like, what group are you? Oh, I'm at group 10. Why are you standing up? Bro, you ain't going to get on the plane no faster.
It's like, sit down. And that always happens too. And that always what fries my donuts about that. And even when you're on the plane and you're getting off the plane, everybody stands up. Like the moment it stopped, they turn that fasten seatbelt sign off. Yes. You're in the back of the plane, boy, and everybody's standing up. You're like, bro, sit down. We got a minute. You know, I don't even take my seatbelt off just yet. We got a second. You know what I mean? You play around on your phone. You text who you need to text. Tell me you're there. You're going to sit there for a minute. So I don't know, man. From the moment you get in there, and then, you know, the destination, you have to deal with all that. You have to figure out how to get out of the thing. And then, of course, parking and all that stuff on the back end. So it can be a pain of an experience. I like flying, but people really lose their mind. Last note that I have on that's really changed after COVID. I mean, COVID's really changed that.
Yes.
I feel like at least before COVID, everybody was a lot more mindful of other people. And I feel like, unfortunately, after COVID, and I think a large part of it is because people thought about themselves a ton, and naturally we all had to. Everybody stay home, everybody focus on your health, focus on your family, that sort of thing. But you start thinking about yourself so much to where, even when we're in an environment where there's a ton of people, you know, people do a whole bunch of stuff with no conscious awareness that there's other people around them at all. And so it's really interesting. But man, that really fries my donuts. It really grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's the whole experience. Anytime when you're in a herd mentality or you're being hurt, like on a cruise, like you're just like, oh,
yeah.
God. I'd be like, oh, we're not doing this. We're not standing with the herd, like march to the beat of my own drum.
But, yeah, man. That's why we need to make enough money on the Donut Box Podcast to fly private. Then we don't have none of these problems.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think you cover that really well. I don't have anything to add to that because those are all the things that I get frustrated with for sure.
Yeah. And so for all of you who are traveling, you know, good luck and Godspeed. Hopefully there's no.
And be mindful of other people, please. Yeah. Just be nice. Mindful. Be courteous. Like, that's all you
very
have to
demure,
do.
Very demure. Very mindful. I'm joking. But yeah, man. So we're going to move into our next segment, which is our mystery donut. And Chris, this is our improv segment. And this is going to take kind of a whole new meaning because we're on camera now. So
So we're actually going to get to show them the hat. Oh, I should have brought the cowboy hat. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick a scenario out of the hat. Okay. So got the hat here.
What logo do we got on the hat today?
Hold it up. We haven't done this one in a minute. We have the coffee shop. Ooh.
Oh, man. So we got just kind of so the coffee shop, for those of you who are new, it's a wide variety of whatever accents we can throw in there. Man, that face, that's a little creepy. I ain't gonna lie to you. But, hey, you never know what voices are going to come out. I mean, there's all sorts of characters. And, yeah, man, it's going to be interesting on camera. I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah. I say let's go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. I'll start. Hey, see you boys out of here. You guys turned into freaking cockroaches. Turn on the lights, y'all. Spread away. I ain't seen you since last Thanksgiving.
Hey, what are you trying to say, man? Last time I was here, I paid the tab. And then the next thing you know, you're not even around to pay the tab the next time. And then nobody wants to meet up anymore.
Oh, you talk about how you don't want to meet up anymore? How come you don't ever want to come visit me in my shop? I give you a good deal.
Oh, man, I tell you this much, Mr. Kwan, your shop is a ripoff. Every time I go over there, your wife tells me no 25% discount. I tell him, listen, you told me 25% discount. Your husband told me 25% discount last time, and he don't honor it.
He don't honor
it down there.
I'm so busy. Hey, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I buy a big turkey. Smoked turkey.
Wait a second. You celebrate Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. I love America. I celebrate about Thanksgiving, have marshmallow, all the stuff.
You celebrate Easter, too?
Oh, yeah. I celebrate and worship the death and burial of Korean Jesus coming back from the dead.
You're Korean?
Yeah, I'm Korean. South. No, north. South.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't quite sure. You never know with, the whole get up there. But let me ask you a question. And this is to whoever. I'm not talking to Mr. Kwan no more. This is to whoever. Why haven't we met up in so long? I mean, we had to wait until season freaking 4 until we had our face on the camera. Now we're joined. Now we're coming back to the coffee shop trying all stuff.
Tired of you guys not meeting up with me. I've been on Social Security disability. I had to go to the doctor the other day, get my diverticulitis checked out, and he had to give me 2 more oxygen tank refills because Medicare Part A and Part B won't cover it. Them guys been calling me all this time, waiting to talk to me about Medicare Part A, Part B.
Hey, you know what? You're starting to sound like you should be followed up by a mesothelioma commercial over here. I don't know what the heck is your freaking problem. You're over here always complaining. You and your freaking stoma. Like, we're tired of you and your freaking stoma. Who even invited you? Smoke of McGee over here. What you even... I don't even know what you're here for. Your Medicare Part A. But you know what? I need a beer. That's what I need.
I think you need to stop getting a beer. No, it's not a guy with a buzzer. It's a guy who's about to put you in a headlock.
That happens to be a buzzer boy that was a WWE wrestler or something.
That sounds like John Wayne.
It does sound like John Wayne. Circle the wagon. But yeah, man, let me tell you something. Last time we were here, we were talking legitimate business. And now, we're sitting over here like a bunch of fools. I'm talking about nothing. At least, that one guy didn't show up. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, praise the Lord, brother. It's your brother, Pastor Troy. I know I got a rap album that came out. But I'm just here to tell you, brothers, this is the season, and Jesus is the reason to be thankful. Can I get an amen? I know you didn't want to invite me, but you need some Thanksgiving in your life. Can I get an amen?
Hi. It's Danny. So let me tell you this. I wasn't invited, and I'm never invited because, you know, look at me. I'm just too fabulous to be invited anywhere we go. So, you know, here we are. It's the coffee shop. And like I said, my name's Danny. And we're just going to talk about feelings and things. We just enjoy talking. We enjoy just shooting the crap, don't we, boys?
Well, brother, I got a feeling that I need to go. But can I pray us out so we can have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah, because this freaking Danny guy's back again. I'm sick and tired of that guy. Pray us out.
Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we thank you today that we get to celebrate Thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for the turkey. We thank you for the dressing. We thank you for the ham with the mac and cheese. Ooh, I feel the Holy Spirit on this one. I pray today, as we go in the highways and the byways and go to our houses or our boxes or our mansions like Pastor Troy over here because of our generous donors at Mount Zion Tabernacle Baptist Church who have given to the Lord. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would give us a good Thanksgiving. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
And that was our improv segment. Some new characters always show up, bro.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. And then some old ones. You know what's funny? I have characters that I don't even like when they show up, and Danny Evans is one of them.
But it's one of those things.
The deal is, I don't know why, when we do the coffee shop, I feel like it's gotta happen.
But I think it's time to transition into our eclair, unless you got something else.
I was just going to say, before we do that, I had a theater class at one point that I had to take, and I remember I had to do a monologue where I was Santa Claus, and I did that exact voice. Like, it was a stupid
monologue.
The Danny
Evans voice as Santa Claus?
Yeah, I did. Well, it was because the teacher, he liked just kind of crazy outlandish stuff. And the whole monologue was talking about how Santa hated kids. Like, it was like the anti-character. Basically, it was like Santa hated kids, and he was sick and tired of making toys. So I did this whole monologue, and I was just like, every year, they want PSPs, they want PlayStations, they want everything. I just had enough. And I just went on this whole thing, bro, as freaking Danny Evans Santa. Yeah, it was a whole thing. I got 100 for it, and yeah, passed that class pretty well. But yeah, I don't know. Every time I do that voice, I'd be thinking about doing Danny Evans Santa. Anyways,
very positive. And our last segment is always our positive advice. And so I'll start this week. I know it's the typical, what are you thankful for? Go around, be thankful, but be thankful for the things that didn't happen, like the prayers that didn't get answered. Be thankful for the hard times when they come, because they're truly what make you who you are. We talked about this last episode, so you should go check it out. But be thankful for the failures, because sometimes that's how you learn and how you grow. And really, true success comes from failure sometimes. So be thankful for the prayers that didn't get answered, because you never know what God might have been saving you from or protecting you from or whatever it is. And so there are a lot of times in my life I look back and I'll be like, God, thank you that you didn't answer my prayer about this, because you know way better than I do, right? And so just be thankful. Again, you know, it's the typical stereotypical thing to be thankful, but just be thankful every day. Like, wake up and think of one thing every day you can be thankful for. And that sounds super cliche, but a lot of us, we wait till Thanksgiving, we wait till Christmas, or we wait till someone passes away to be thankful. But we need to be thankful every single day, because we have so much to be grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. And mine this week is a little cliche as well. They're always cliche. You always got to love positive advice. It's always a little cliche, but mine this week, I'm going to go back to aviation again, and you got to love it. But anytime you're flying, I don't know if, you know, some people know this, some people don't, but whenever you're taking off in a plane, you always are going against the wind, and it always takes every bit of engine power to get you off the ground. And so there's a lot of adversity in life, but, and, you know, a lot of times there's a lot of uncontrollable things that happen, and present you with challenges that might push you back otherwise, unless you were full throttle. And I'm not sitting here saying, hey, you got to be full throttle all the time. But, you know, a lot of people out there have been full throttle for a long time and don't have an end in sight and don't know when it's going to stop. But just remember that the strongest headwinds are always the biggest takeoffs. And those are always the anytime you're in, you know, as long as you could be at an airport where you can take off unfettered, man, and you got a good headwind and everything like that, the takeoffs are great. So, you know, the thing is, you know, the stronger the headwind, the stronger the adversity, the stronger you're going to take off. And so that's all coming. And we believe in you at the Donut Box Podcast.
You raise me up so I can stand a mountain.
Oh, God.
90s cheese there for you. Well, tell them where they can go to find all the great stuff. Obviously, YouTube, that's where you're watching this, hopefully.
Yeah, good old YouTube. And so we've rebranded a little bit of stuff for our OGs. We've got the Trash Can Network. And then what was the Trash Can Network? We went over and did Trash Can Travels. So there's that over there. And so we've got a lot of aviation stuff over there. And then what was the Aviator Society on Instagram has also turned into Trash Can Travels. So we've kind of made that an all-inclusive deal. And you got to love branding and whatnot. We're always kind of changing it up, as you can tell, with us being on camera as well. So if you're into all the aviation stuff, Trash Can's got you covered on this. But at the same time, we also have our YouTube channel for the Donut Box Podcast in particular. So you get to find us there. We've got our stuff over on Facebook, which is the Trash Can Network. So at the Trash Can Network. And so go find us over there. And then also, like Christopher said, over on YouTube at the Trash Can Network as well. So, you know, man, we've got a lot of great things going on. Season 4 is going to be fantastic. We've already gotten, you know, had a fantastic start to it. It's hard to believe that we're this far into it, but here we are. We're showing our faces. We're showing our faces, and it's going well. But, yeah, man, that's pretty much all I have. Like I said, I'm just staring at myself talking even more.
Well,
I like hear myself talk. So
I think it's time for the Starship to take us out. I'm Chris.
And I'm Michael.
And this has been the Donut Box Podcast.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I'm found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling.